little how much you may own, the places you've been or the people you've known. For it all comes to nothing when placed at its feet. It's nothing to Jesus, they're just memories to keep. You may take all the treasures from far away lands, take all the riches you can hold in your hands, and take all the pleasures that riches can buy. Your time to die. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do His will. So to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall you have but one life. The days pass so swiftly, the months come and go, the years melt away like new. Spring turns to summer, and summer to fall. Autumn brings winter, then death comes to all. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ to do His will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall you have but one life, so give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays.
Thank you, ladies. Let's stand together if you are able to, and turn to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter number 2, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. For a few weeks, we're going to just talk from different angles about our theme, a firm foundation. I think today something I think that will help you. Colossians chapter number 2, we'll read verses 6 to 10. It says, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. I pray that You would just be with us these few minutes. Pray, Lord, that You'd help us to make a key commitment to a very basic, important concept for going to be the Christians that you are going, that you want us to be, for going to achieve in life that which you want us to achieve, and just to have the life that you want us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, our theme is a firm foundation. We understand that the key to our success in any endeavor and in our life depends on the foundation that we have and the foundation that we choose to build upon. It seems over the years, many have tried to add to the Christian faith. It's amazing how, as individuals, we think we can improve upon God's plan. God has some pretty set ideas about Christianity and the faith. It's amazing how we just think, you know, if we just did this and this, how things would be better. Remember years ago, we had a missionary. He said he was a missionary. Our old church over on Anaheim, he came, and so we took him out to dinner, Pastor Esposito and myself. And we didn't know anything about the guy. We were just trying to be nice. And he was in some small island somewhere. He told us in a nutshell, he goes, "We're rethinking everything." I'm like, "Okay, great." He said, "Imagine this," and he thought this was the most brilliant thing anybody ever thought. "What if we had churches with nowhere to meet and no pastors? Just a few people meeting," and he said, "just meeting together under a coconut tree." And I thought, sounds like a coconut fell and hit you in the head. He thought that the church would be better if it was disorganized and there was no one to teach anybody. What a wonderful concept. You know, it's always better if we just stick with what God has told us. Now, again, we can be creative in some of the things we do as long as we're not stepping outside the bounds of Scripture, but you can't improve upon what God says. And so if we're going to have the Christian life that we're supposed to have, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we have to have a firm foundation. Last week, we touched upon having the foundation of God's presence in our life. And it wasn't some mystical, weird deal. It was basically found in doing the things that we're supposed to do every day, and we see God's hands working in our life. Today, I want us to look at another little basic principle. You're going to say, "Oh, that's what it is." Yeah, that is what it is. It's nothing earth-shattering, but it's something if we follow will help us. Paul here is writing to the church at Colossae. Paul, very interestingly, this church he had probably never even been to. Many of the churches he writes the epistles to, he helped to start. This church he didn't. And so he had heard of their faith, and so he writes to them. Of course, it's Scripture, we understand that. But he wants to help them. See, there was many false concepts and ideas at work at that time. There in Colossae, where they were at, they're the Gnostics. And they believed all flesh was evil and a bunch of weird things. That's why a lot of these, you ever seen, and I haven't seen it, but some of these history shows, they'll have like the missing gospels, you know. The gospel of Thomas and the gospel of this and gospel of that. Because they're not scripture. They're written by Gnostics who come about it from a different concept. It was very prevalent in that area. And so Paul's writing to them to make sure that they understand. In Colossians, the key concept is the preeminence of Christ, that he is everything, and everything is through him and by him. And he's trying to get that concept through to them. He wants them to have a strong faith so they don't fall victim to false beliefs. By the way, whenever we struggle in our lives, whenever things start to go a bad direction, it's because we have swallowed some false beliefs. Whether it's false Christian beliefs, whether it's false beliefs espoused to the world or the school you go to. So it's very important that we have a foundation that is strong so we don't swallow the nonsense. What is the basic thing is Paul is telling them to do so they can overcome this? It's very important. Paul wanted them simply to continue to grow in their faith. That was the key thing. You see, when someone stops growing in their faith, now they start to regress. And if you start to regress, the nonsense that's around us, the nonsense that's inside of us, our flesh, now can take a foothold. Now can mess up our way of thinking, our way of leaving. Growth is very important in the faith. Brother Black, my first pastor, Jim Black, used to always say, you're not standing still in your Christian life. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Okay? We don't have that option. We have to continue to grow. Amen. Fact of the matter is, it's not normal nor is it healthy for a Christian not to grow. Amen. Mentioned in our Sunday school class, I don't know the name of the disease. There's a disease that it's very, very rare where an individual outwardly will grow at a rate of 1 year to every 4 years of their life. I saw a story of it many years ago, and they showed up. He looked like a young boy. He was 11 years old, but in reality, he was 44. This disease, whatever it is, it keeps them from outwardly growing to resemble what their age really is. I don't know what that disease is called, but you could, in the church, call it Christianitis, because fact of the matter is, most of us are nowhere near maturity-wise, spiritually speaking, our age in the Lord. It ought not to be. Shocks me sometimes the things as I meet with people and counsel with people, and the things people will tell me who have known the Lord for many years. And I don't say it, I try to be nice, but sometimes, and you say, you shouldn't think like that, you're a pastor, I know, pray for me. They'll say something, I'll just think, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, I don't think. But a lot of times what has happened to us is because we're not growing spiritually the rate we should. And we, because of that, we hear things and we see things and it's like, we just don't get it. And all of us, that can happen to. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, we don't know for sure, said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us grow unto perfection. You mean, if I grow in my faith, one day I can be perfect? Absolutely not. It means mature. Maturity. Isn't that our goal for our children? They're born. We want them to grow. They learn how to start crawling. Then they learn how to start walking. Learn how to start talking. The girls seem to learn faster than the boys, but they learn how to talk. And then they learn how to use the bathroom on their own. That's a good one, right? And they go to school, and now they're learning things, and they graduate, and they mature, they grow. Shouldn't we not do that as Christians? We need to learn what it is to grow. And these verses here, as I read these, I think I see Paul giving us a little bit of a checklist for what we need to do to grow in the faith. Let me give you the checklist today, and maybe we can kind of see where we're at. And by the way, as you look at them, they kind of go in order. The first thing on this checklist, if we're going to grow like we should, and I'm calling this, let's be committed to growth. That's a foundation of the faith. The first thing on the checklist is simple. It's faith. Look at verse 6 again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, let me ask you a question. How did we receive Christ? By faith. Very simple. There was a day in our life when someone pointed out to us that there was only one way to heaven, That was through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Nothing else. And if we received him as Savior, what we did on that day, we said, Lord, I'm accepting your gift of eternal life that you paid for on the cross, and I'm putting my 100% faith in what you did and 0% in anything else. And so by faith, we trusted him for our eternity. And what he is saying here is, once we got saved, now we're supposed to walk the same way that we got saved by faith. 100% trust in what he says we are to do. Why is that so hard for us? Why is it so hard for us to place our eternal, never-ending soul in him for the most important thing in the world, salvation, and yet we can't put enough faith in how he tells us to live, to follow him, our 60 or 70, 80 years on this earth? We'll trust him for eternity, but we can't trust him for right now. You know why? Because eternity's later. By the way, we always do better with things when they're later, right? I'll take care of that because it's later. But it's faith. We are supposed to trust him and grow and walk and live our life by faith. That is what you call a basic. And maybe if we follow the basics, things would just go better for us. 1962, they had an expansion baseball team, the New York Mets. They ended up being the worst team, I think, that year in the history of baseball. They lost like 120-something games. They were bad. But Casey Stengel was their first manager. He was kind of a funny kind of guy. He knew these players were not very good, and he was jokingly. So what he did is, the very first practice, they got together at spring training, he held up a ball and said, gentlemen, this is a baseball. Let's start right there. Now, the way they played, some of them didn't know that. The basics. Let's stick with the basic. The basic is, we trust Christ for faith salvation. Let's trust him with faith for the rest of our lives. Let's walk in faith. Let me ask you a question. When you live your life on a daily basis, do you think about, am I doing today what God would want me to do? Am I committed today to following him no matter what he would ask me to do? If I read something in the Bible this morning, or I heard something from the Bible, or I read it, am I committed to say, if God says to do it, then I'm all in on it? By faith. We're supposed to live our life walking. Now, that does not mean that occasionally we will have momentary lapses. All of us do. But when we have those lapses, we get right back on the horse and we do what we're supposed to do. Faith. How's your faith today in the way you're living? Then he says, verse 7, so the first checklist, if we're going to go, let's have faith. Let's live by faith. Secondly, let's be rooted. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. Now think about it. When something starts to grow, one of the very first things it's going to do, if it's going to continue on, is it's got to develop roots. It's got to become stabilized. And that happens as we develop roots. Lasting growth starts downward before you see it outward. Now think about that. Now, again, if you're living for God, there will be outward evidence of it. But let me just say this, the outward evidence is just a sign of the inward transformation that is taking place in your life. That's where the roots are growing. You look at a healthy fruit tree, and you see that fruit up there. But is avocado a fruit or vegetable? I think it's a fruit because it's on a tree and it's got a nut, right? I don't like avocados. We do have a tree in our backyard. But the evidence that that tree is healthy is that it produces avocados. Fruit. I don't think of avocados as fruit. Pizza, that's fruit, right? It should be. Man, I wish I had a pizza tree. Wouldn't that be great? Why don't stuff like that grow on trees? You know, grapefruit. Seriously? But anyhow, back to reality. But the fruit is a sign that the tree is healthy. And what's making the tree healthy? It starts that rooting system down low. where it's getting the water and what it needs. Listen, if we're growing in our faith, we're going to be rooted. And if we're going to be rooted, we're not going to be thrown all around and all over the place. Roots draw the nourishment that is needed. Roots supply the strength that is needed. How are our roots in Christ? No root, no fruit. And some of us just play around with Christianity a little bit. We play around with Jesus a little bit, but we're not really developing strong, healthy roots. Roots are important. Without roots, we're never going to be what we're supposed to be. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all that stuff that's hard, gentleness, meekness, patience, all that stuff was like, come on. Well, how does any of that even show itself in our lives? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It grows as a result of us being strong in the Lord and in His Spirit and developing roots. How's your root system today? We look at people and say, how can somebody do some despicable deed? There's usually something very, very wrong deep down inside. Or somebody gets involved in something and how did that happen? It's like, well, it just happened, you know, that nothing just happens. There was a weakness. The root system is not right. We're developing roots today. I mean, are you committed to being a Christian? Are you committed to walking by faith? The longer you walk strong in the faith, the deeper your roots will be. So we develop roots. What's the third thing on the checklist? He says, rooted and built up in Him. Then we're building. See, we commit to walking by faith. Our root system gets grown, and now we're going to build upon it. It's like building a building. The first thing you do with the building is the foundation. We talked last week, we mentioned the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's like 180-something feet tall, and the foundation was only 10 feet tall. Imagine having problems. Foundations are very, very, very important. And once we have the foundation and that is strong, we can now grow. You're growing. You're getting stronger. You say, well, I mean, I've been a Christian for a while and I've been in church for a while and I just feel so weak. And in a certain essence, we are weak. But yeah, I know what you're saying. But sometimes there's a weakness we shouldn't have. There are struggles we should have got over a long time ago. Now, not every struggle, don't get me wrong. But there are some things as we start to build upon our life that we ought to be able to get victory in. We shouldn't always lose. Listen, I used to coach our teams. I say this with my fingers crossed. I didn't mind losing. If we lost to a team that's better than us, I can't remember ever playing one that was better than us. There were a few, you know what irritated me? It irritated me if we lost and we shouldn't have. I just didn't like that. I'm like, there is no... Now, the guys did pretty good at not doing that. The girls in the volleyball team, they struggled. I used to always tell the girls, I had to coach the girls' volleyball team. I was being punished. I used to say, you girls don't need a coach. You need a psychologist. Because if they were just having a bad day, it's like, you're three times better than that team. But you know how it is. So sometimes we struggle. But you know, there are some struggles in our Christian life you should have already have gotten victory over. There are some basic things as you grow. God gives you victory. Not that you're perfect, but sometimes Christians struggle with things. It's like, you should have got a grasp on that already. But you know why? We're not building. We don't have that foundation down. We're not building on it. And we're struggling. That is not God's will is not for you to constantly struggle with everything. How's it going? You want to build something that stands the test of time. Like in Matthew, whosoever heareth the saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now he also compares it to someone that didn't build it on that. He built his house on the sand. What he built did not last. What are you building that'll pass the test of time? Hey, how's your Christian walk today? Boy, I struggle with that thing. How long has it been? At some point in your life, you ought to just nail that down, right? So I've been saved for 10 years, and why are you still struggling? You're Christian. Your family. No family's perfect. Give me a break. Okay? But sometimes there are some struggles in there that don't need to be in there. Your marriage. Your testimony. See, man, when I'm at church or I'm with Christians, I do pretty good, but when I get to work, I struggle. You need to have the strength to be able to get through that. And if you're doing the other things, you're living your life by faith and you're getting some deep roots, you'll be able to have victory in that area. We build. And then he says, establish, rooted and built up in the faith. Build it, or built up and established in the faith. What established? That's firm. That's faithful. That's being counted on. Right? It's like, you know, we used to make clay things when we were in school. I don't know, the shop classes, and you'd make, back then we all made ashtrays, amen. But you'd make this pottery of some type, and you set it all up, and then we would put it over so that it would harden and become firm and established. We shouldn't always be floating back and forth. You know, some people, 1 week, man, they are going to be a missionary to Mars. And then the next week, the FBI couldn't find them to get them to church. And I know I know sometimes we all struggle with emotions, we're tired and all that. You know what I'm talking about. But some people, it's just a violent swing back and forth. We ought to be established. You know, there's one thing we can all work on, and that's called faithfulness. Faithfulness. Doing what, when we're established, we always do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. That's not very difficult. As I started to grow in my faith, there were some things that were pretty easy right away. I started out by just coming to church on Sunday morning. I didn't know any better. You know, I'm just, I'll show up. And I wasn't really in on anything else. And I came for about 5 or 6 Sundays in a row on Sunday morning. And I thought, you know, I need to step it up. So I started coming on the other services. And then I talked to somebody. It's like, I got nailed down with reading my Bible. And then I started coming out to their, we used to do it on Thursday nights. Yes. And then we don't all need to add all of it, but then they had a prayer meeting on Saturday night. I added that. And then got involved in a Sunday school. So I started teaching Sunday school. And then I started working on a bus route. And helping the Christian school. And whatever it was, I added things. I'm like, if this is what God wants me to do, I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna stick with it. I wanna be established. I like in the book of Acts when it talks now about the new Christian, and they use this word, and they continued. I like that. I like Christian. It's like, how long have you been saved and serving God? I like when it's in decades. We say, I just got saved, 2 years ago. Okay, you'll get there. Yes. How long have you been teaching a Sunday school class? This long. I don't care about the flowers that bloom right away. I want to see the flower that they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now. Amen. That doesn't happen if we don't grow in our faith. Amen. They say the average church member lasts 7 years. You know why? Because they don't become established in their faith. They're more of a churchian than they are a Christian. And we need to make sure that we are. Then he says, and abounding therewith with thanksgiving. This is where it starts to get really good. See, because you've lived the kind of life where you walk by faith, you become rooted, you start to build up your life, and what you're building up is established. Now you're abounding with thanksgiving. You have blessings everywhere. See, you know what we want? We want the blessings without the effort. This is what we want. We want the results without having to put in the work. You know, all these guys, they all want to be great basketball players. No one wants to go in the gym and shoot. I mentioned before, I don't like the Celtics. I'm a Lakers fan. I think the Celtics are Satanist. That green just makes me nauseous. Okay, I'm just kidding. But you know, Larry Bird, they won a championship 1 year. You know, they all party the night before. The next morning, he's in his gym at 6 o'clock practicing his shots. Well, we all want the success, but are we willing to put in what it takes? But I will say this, if we do the things we're supposed to do, you know, when you think of abounding, you think of overflowing. And I'll tell you what, the longer you serve God, the better you serve God, the better the blessings will be. Oh, you mean I won't have any problems in my life? No, everybody has problems. Don't. I'm not saying that. But everything will be perfect. Everything won't be perfect. But you still have God's blessing no matter what's going on. And I like he says Thanksgiving. Some people look at it like, I have nothing to be thankful for. Well, first of all, everybody has something to be thankful for. But maybe you don't have more to be thankful for because you've not followed the process. Listen, living a life apart from God, there ain't going to be a whole lot of extra things to be thankful for. But boy, living a life for God, listen, I am so glad. I wish I would have done it earlier. As an 18-year-old, I finally got that thing right. You know, I can look back at my life, not perfect, none of that, but I can't think of anything else I'd change. Why? The Lord's good. The longer you stay with Him, the better things will be. Amen. That was so arbitrary. Next on the checklist, I like this. If we do that, we'll be discerning. Discerning. The next one. Beware. The Bible says beware. You know what that word means? It means beware. Watch out. Beware of dog. You know what that means? He's bigger, meaner, and faster than you. Be careful. Okay? Beware, lest any man spoil you. Spoil is like in a war. When you would win the war, you would spoil. You would take the other people's cookies, I guess you would say. You take their stuff because you won. Beware, lest any man spoil or take you through philosophy. All the nonsense that's spewed by this world. Vain deceit, empty lies. After the tradition of men, nothing that can be proven. It's just what people say. After the rudiments of the world, just the base godless lifestyle of the world, and not after Christ. But what's he say? Be careful. See, when you live this life and you're living in God's blessing and you're grounding in your faith, you will not fall prey to a lot of this nonsense. And that's what Paul was telling them. There was a lot of bad philosophies flying around in that culture, a lot of bad philosophies in Colossae, and he says, very important that you're establishing your faith so you can beware and you don't fall prey. How many people fall prey to all kinds of nonsense because they're just not grounded in their faith? The more you know God, the closer you are to God, the more you'll recognize the nonsense that's going on around you. The more you'll recognize the lies and the things your flesh is trying to throw at you. And why do we do all these things? So we can get to the last thing on the checklist. We are complete. Look at the verse there. And ye are complete in him. You know what complete means? I'm not going to say complete, okay? Complete means you have everything you need. All the pieces are there. Everything's put together. You're not lacking anything. If you're a Christian and you're serving God, there may be things in your life you want to work on. There's trials and all that, but you can look back in your life and say, I really have everything I need in Christ. I have it all. He's working in my life. He's making me complete. We call it whatever you want to call it. I'm not lacking what God wants me to have in my life today. Let me ask you, are you growing in your faith? I'm coming to church and I love church and that's enough for me. You won't last. At some point, you've got to develop that godly close relationship with God where you're trying to become more of what he wants you to. Well, what does God want me to do? He wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, he wants us to be like Jesus Christ. And we find that in the word of God. The things that he's at. You say, is that an instantaneous process? No. Salvation's instantaneous. Amen. I trusted Christ. He gave me salvation. We're done with it. But from there to the end of my life, I'm working on the other things. But you got to grow. The minute you stop growing, you start dying. Say, man, I want to have that kind of life. I look and say, man, I am on the firm foundation. Well, you got to grow. You got to grow. You growing today? Maybe there was a time that you were growing and you were doing better. And it's like, you know, we never want to have to look back and say, you know, I wish I was like I was back then. That's a bad sign. But here's the good sign. We can be like we were back then. Let's just start growing again. Let's start walking by faith and trusting him and spending time with him. Let's stand this morning.